had a couple of people, they came to the front and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, my tongues were minimal. How many of you would say that was the same? And you know, over time, just praying and fighting off the devil, because as soon as you make these funny noises out of your mouth, the devil will come along and say, really? Come on, like you really believe this junk, you know, like you know, and you press through and all of a sudden, you know, what happens is you're in this place with God and he's hearing you and you're hearing him, and it doesn't mean that it's always sweet, because there's going to be some conviction, because what happens is we could be bad sometimes, us people, you know. So however, that developed over time, and I began to pray in tongues, as some of you will be. And we introduced a couple, like last week. You weren't embarrassed. So Linda said, she says, let me introduce Nicole. Nicole was baptized in the Holy Spirit last Sunday, and everyone, yay! So, you know, and it's become, I'm so thankful for all of you, because this has become the type of church, the type of house where I remember in the old days where we would have a revivalist or an evangelist come in and there would be a lot of resistance. But they were good. They were good salespeople. They knew how to close the deal. And if you didn't respond, we would load up the gun again and we would come at a different angle. And we would close the deal to get you to the altar and stuff like this. And here we just say it like this. Does anyone need healing this morning? Okay. Does anyone need healing this morning? Come on up. Does anyone want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Where are you going? No, I know. It's okay. So I'm thankful for that. I thank you, all of you, for the trust level in the house, that we're not embarrassed by the name Jesus Christ. It's okay. It's okay. We all could have our dirty laundry and we could all have this. And the motto around here is help me, don't hurt me. How many times have you heard me say that, Pastor Rolly? You know, help me, don't hurt me. And so the thing is, one of the things when we walk with the Spirit, he takes the embarrassment off of that, because the embarrassment that we have, that the resistance to walk in the things of the Spirit is not embarrassment, it's pride. Okay? It's pride. And so we need to get rid of the pride. And it's okay, you know. And so God is good. And so, as I want to talk about again this morning, is Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is a continual journey through our walk. It's not one thing that you get at a camp meeting, or you get at the altar, or you get and it's a one-time thing. It's a journey. It's a lifestyle. It's just a beautiful thing. It's not a once in a lifetime event, and yes, it still happens today. If you're from the persuasion, or if you've heard that these things are not for today, then work that out in your spirit, you know. Because I'm not going to stand here and criticize people who don't believe that, but they need to work it out for themselves, just like you did when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So if we have a love language, we don't have to fight with people who don't agree with us. What we have to do is we have to demonstrate his grace through our life so that they would desire to be closer to God, because we each have a close walk with God. Amen? Amen? And that's so good. And I honor you for that, because that's the journey we're walking in as a church. That's our DNA. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a continual thing. And it's available for us today. So let's once again return to Acts chapter 2, and we'll go to verses 3 and 4. Are you able to click that up there, James? But I'll read it here. And so Acts chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And it says this, it says, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. As the Spirit enabled them. So the verse says that each of them and all of them. Each of them and all of them. And I love this. I love this verse, because I'm gonna unpack it a little bit for you. It says that they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The verse says each of them and all of them. It does not say some of them. It doesn't say some of them. The 120 individuals that were in the room represented a wide spectrum of people, right? There would have been some people that were wealthy. There would have been some people that were poor. There were some people that might have been educated, some people that were uneducated. So that means that it was for all of them. And so for you this morning, we all come from different places in life. Amen? And the Holy Spirit doesn't favor one person because they're a lawyer or one person because they're this. Holy Spirit is so honoring. So this is a very, very important place to start. Even if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, sometimes your self-esteem isn't where it should be. And you go to a verse like this and it says, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire and it rested on each of them, all of them. Yes and amen, I'm okay, you're okay, and we could all walk in this together. There was no elitism here. So when I started to unpack that, I said, oh, I like that. I really like that. It says the 120 in that room, they just represented a wide spectrum of society. And the verse says that the tongues of fire rested upon them. So why am I telling you this anyways this morning? Well, it's important because if you and I had been in that room, you would have seen tongues of fire over me, and I would have seen tongues of fire over you. Imagine what that would have been looking like. Like all of a sudden, tongues of fire come over. Oh, Sharon Johnson, oh my goodness, you have tongues of fire all over you. Ida, and you have it too, you too. It's just amazing. And so what happens is they saw it. So in other words, the baptism of the Holy Spirit wasn't for an elite group. So, and we as Pentecostals, okay, and I explained what it meant, what we said Pentecostal, okay, yes, I understand that we are Christians, okay? But when you say, I've met people before who would say, no, I'm not Pentecostal, I'm Christian. Okay, that's fine. But you've just left out a very important distinctive, because when someone says to you, when someone says, so you're Pentecostal, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you, and I will take them to the book of Acts. I will take them to Pentecost. I will take them to the feast. I will take them to the thing. There is a distinction because not all Christians believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I'm proud to be a Pentecostal who is filled with the Holy Spirit because they went out two by two in all of the world, and they did it under the power of the Holy Spirit. They couldn't do it under themselves. So there's nothing to be ashamed of to say, Pentecostal, I'm a Pentecostal. Amen? I've worked that one through because there was a time in my life, we're Christians. Why do we have to have a label? You know, all the churches, they're taking Pentecostal out of their name and they're calling Christian this and Christian that. And that's okay. I'm not criticizing anyone. But you know what? I'm proud now when I look at this church and I look at the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada that came along and they gave $35,000 to start up the church, and they've been supportive of us and they've been supportive of this church and they've been supportive of pastors. And we have a PAOC pastor right there, and we have a PAOC pastor over there. We have another pastor over there in training to become a pastor. You know what? It's a good fellowship. There's another PAOC global worker right there. I like the word missionary too, but you know. And so look at that smile. This girl here, man, she had a passion for Jesus to go to China. And how old were you? Oh my goodness. So it's just, you know what? I'm proud of our organization. Linda's a credential holder with the PAOC. God's using her in great ways. We're Pentecostal. And it's not because we're a denomination, we're a fellowship. We're Pentecostal because we believe in the book of Acts, and we believe in the Holy Spirit, and we believe in signs and wonders, and we believe in healing. But we've also said that Holy Spirit is not weird. You remember? We're weird. And if you were weird before you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, the chances are you're still going to be weird after. So let's not make Holy Spirit weird. Holy Spirit is God, and we need to honor God. Holy Spirit. And there needs to be some more reverence for who Holy Spirit is. And so, yes, you know, so the thing is, I'm not saying that I don't want to see manifestations and all of this stuff. But you know what? Let's show Holy Spirit the same respect that we would show Father God or Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Now I'm all off track. Deborah, it's your fault. I was hyper. I saw you. I got all excited. And it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everyone. We must believe in faith, folks. Okay? So people say, well, you know what? I tried once. I said, when was that? Well, it was about 25 years ago. And I said, okay, you know. The longer I pastor, the more graceful I am, even though I want to say 25 years ago. Like, what's the deal with that, you know? So the thing is, how do you receive this Holy Spirit? Well, no different than receiving. You had to receive Jesus Christ by faith, right? So why would the Holy Spirit be any different? So you received Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You welcomed him into your life. You said a prayer maybe with someone. You accepted him. Then for some of you, like if you were like Linda, someone would say, well, now you're born again. Well, where we grew up, you born again people, you were all cuckoo. So here she is. She prays the prayer. And then this tall man about Lee's height, he says, well, now, young lady, you're born again. And she looked at him. She says, no, I'm not. Those born-again people are crazy. And so here she is. She just prayed the prayer. So we're born again. We're born-again people, amen. Right? And we are because we believed in faith, right? So the thing is, so if we believe in faith that we could be baptized in the Holy Spirit, then what's the obstacle? What's the obstacle to that? So once again, the important question is that the power of the Holy Spirit, is it for today? Is it for today? And, you know, we've adopted many great things from churches that really promote strong leadership and everything like this. And we have grown as a fellowship. But when we become so entwined in leadership and every second of the service has to be so perfectly timed that if there's one little boo-boo in it, you know, the pastor or the sound person or whoever it is, they're all bent out of shape and everything like this. Like, what have we done? What have we done? We're not a corporation. Yes, we need to do things good, but not at the expense of not having to depend on Holy Spirit. Amen? So, like, what happens is, like, you know, one of my heroes is John Maxwell. How many of you have heard of John Maxwell? John Maxwell, if you haven't read his books, you need to read his books. He is like one of the best leadership people you'll ever read. But you know what? When my wife is sick this past year and she had the flu and she's throwing up and everything like this, you know what? I'm not calling on John Maxwell to bless her. You know what I mean? I'm saying, Oh Lord, touch my family, touch my wife, touch the church. Lord, have your presence fill the people here, Lord. Give them the courage to stand up. Give them the courage to make right decisions. Lord, give them the freedom to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, just do, you know, I don't pray those prayers to John Maxwell. Amen? So once again, the important question is, can we experience the power of the Holy Spirit today? Can we still experience today what Jesus promised? Amen. He promised. Okay? I said to Ty on Friday night, we were talking about something. I said, Ty, have I ever lied to you? He looked at me and says, no, you haven't. And I said, you know what, Ty, you've never lied to me. I said, I trust you. I honor you. You know what I mean? We need Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit like never before. You know, it's a promise. He promised. Can we still have this promise today? Yes. Jesus gave the command. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that the Father has promised. Oh my goodness, if I had a checkbook right now, right here, and some of you, I know you, and it's like a checkbook here. Okay. $10,000. You, $10,000 to. Oh my goodness, you're going ballistic. You're going to leave here. You're going to go to your favorite restaurant. What a church we go to. The pastor was giving you a $10,000. Then we come to, you know, there were two or three people that were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Oh, wow, that's really good. You know what I mean? This is the promise. This is the promise. This is the love language. This is the keys to us functioning the way we're supposed to function. How many of you this morning are disappointed in an action or something that you thought or said this week? Okay. How many? Yeah. Me too. So Acts 2 and 12 says this. It says, they were amazed and perplexed, and they asked each other, what does this mean? And this is the part I love, because all of us could be Peter. How many of you are familiar with Peter in the Bible? Okay? How many of you? Well, Peter, before Holy Spirit, I don't like to criticize him and make a joke out of him, because it preaches well. But you know what? We could all be Peter. We could all have those insecurities. We could all say things at the wrong time, and you know. But Peter, what happened was, before he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he stands up now and he says, after the people says, what does this mean? And he says, well, let me tell you what this means. He stands up and delivers a spirit-filled, inspired, prophetic message that probably has never been spoken before. He cites Old Testament passages that spoke of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and his coming would empower the people through prophecy. Okay, he spoke of this boldly. And the formerly timid and sometimes brash Peter finishes by boldly proclaiming that Jesus is Messiah. Okay, how many of you this morning could go out here and proclaim without a shadow of a doubt, and you could say, Jesus is Messiah? Okay, well, I'll be honest with you. If I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit, I can't say that. I told you a story once. I used to carry my Bible. Now we just do everything on our phones. And I remember I was here. I was already in North Bay, and I was going up to the hospital to visit someone. I'm carrying my Bible like now, like I would, and I really don't care, because I'm asking God, show me where you're at work. So if someone looks at my Bible and they look at me, I say, hey, how's it going? You know, you want to have a coffee? So, but in that day, I'd walk into the hospital, and someone would look at the Bible, and I would kind of go, how many of you have been there, honestly? Okay. And I went home and I said to Linda, I said, am I embarrassed? And I got on my knees. I said, Holy Spirit, I need you. Okay? So under the power of the Holy Spirit, I could stand before 10,000, 1,000, 1 million and say, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. But you say it in a love language, that there's a conviction about you, so that you're not trying to be something that you're not, but you're saying it because there's something that's been birthed inside of you and you're so proud of it. Jesus is Messiah. When I come into my church, when I worship that Jesus is Messiah, I have such a love for him. See, this comes from a daily journey of walking with Holy Spirit. How many of you need it? How many of you need it? I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Okay, I'm not telling you, if I told you anything you don't know? But you know what? There's something to practice it too. There's one thing to walk it out. There's one thing. Do I really believe this? Okay, I know our pastor's pretty passionate. You know, when new people come in the church, he gets pretty hyper. And sometimes, you know, I wish that he wouldn't embarrass us as much, but stuff like this. But you know what? Do we believe this? Like, seriously, like, do we believe this? Or, like, yeah, we come to church, you're faithful, you know, you give your tithes, and you're involved in areas of the church. But, man, is there a conviction in our hearts, like a burning conviction in our heart, to be like Jesuits that go out, and wherever they would see a need, and they would just meet it under the power of the Holy Spirit because they have practiced spiritual exercises? You know, so in support of Peter's preaching, the Holy Spirit does something that he was precisely called to do. See, Holy Spirit, when we say Jesus Christ is Messiah, Holy Spirit is coming alongside with that, and he has a job to do. When we say that, when we are under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and he convicts hearts and he draws people to Jesus, amen? So your journey, your life, your at least your desire should be that whoever you are, that whatever you say, whatever you do, should at least draw people to Jesus. You know what happens is, now you know what? Jesus is doing the drawing, so take the pressure off yourself, but at least be available, all of us. Amen? Amen. So notice how the people responded. In Acts 2 and 37, it says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Oh my goodness, I can't remember the last time someone said to me, Pastor Ken, what should I do? Or Ken, they don't know me as Pastor Ken in the marketplace, but I want them to say that. What should we do? I've hit a brick wall. What should I do? These people had witnessed a supernatural demonstration of Holy Spirit's power, and they heard a sermon about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. So what do we need to do with our relationship? Of course, Peter happily answers their question. He says in Acts 32 and 38, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, and ask for forgiveness for your sins and receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the survey that we did here, and we had more than 50% of the congregation answer it. And it gave us some insights into our congregation, where we are, and stuff like this. And one of the areas where we're not ignorant, but we're not strong, we're not as strong as we should be, is in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes, like, we're guilty sometimes of making Holy Spirit weird, right? And we have made the gifts of the Spirit sometimes weird, and they're not weird. They're to empower the body. So later on in the fall and stuff like this, we will start to examine them more. And I would love to see Helena, you know, I'd love to see you stand up and speak a word of knowledge over me, or you know, to have more messages in tongues with interpretations, as long as it's of God and it's not of the same testimony every week. And that's why we stopped doing it, because it would be the same person every week and stand up and go, my people, and the body of Christ just got kind of bored hearing it. But it doesn't mean that that gift is dormant. That gift needs to be raised up again. Maybe some of you are gifted in that area. We need to look at the gifts, and don't fear them, okay? Don't fear them. We're not going on a weird journey. We're going on an empowerment journey. We're not going on a journey of more knowledge. We're going on an impartation journey. We're going on a journey of transformation. Amen? Isn't that good? Are you encouraged? And so it says, repent and be baptized. So what Peter outlines here goes beyond two steps of receiving salvation. He presents a roadmap for experiencing this wonderful promise, this wonderful gift. And in our circles, we believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is secondary to salvation. It's a secondary thing that happens. Yes, we are saved and we get the Holy Spirit. We know that. People who do not speak in tongues still have the Holy Spirit. There's been some bad teaching in Pentecostal churches. They say that if you don't have Holy Spirit, you're not saved. We do not believe that here. Someone came to me once and they said, what's wrong with you people? You believe that? I said, who told you we believe that? We don't believe that. People who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, they're saved. They still have the Holy Spirit. But what happens is in the book of Acts, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they were empowered to take the gospel to the world. And that is secondary to what this is. You know what? There's churches in our city that don't believe that. Bless their hearts. Okay? I'm not here to be an apologetic. Okay? I'm just telling you what I know here. And if you're in agreement with it, then seek after God. Okay? So what happens is it's more than once a one-time event. So can we experience Pentecost? Okay, so we pray. We have an amazing prayer ministry in this church. We pray. We pray all the time. And how many of you have prayed for years? Lord, send a revival to our city. Lord, there's 54,000 people in our city and probably only 2,000 of them are born again Christians. Lord, how could there be a revival? Can there be a revival? Of course there can. Of course there can. Never lose hope, but have this personal relationship with Holy Spirit. Okay, because if you're not, then all you are is an armchair critic, okay, and you have an opinion on everything. But if you're not walking it, then shut up, okay? Like, I don't really want to hear it, because the love language of the Spirit speaks honor and respect and value and everything. And if you meet anyone in this city, okay, you don't know what their life is. There was somebody at Doreen's little wedding that they had here. There was only a few people. And there was one person that was here who was very, very atheist. And at the end, we were just standing in the back, and I've known this person for a long time, and I said to this, we're just talking, just the normal language that we talk. Said, you know, yeah, I really like that person. I really respect them. You know, they're so amazing. I honor them and everything like this. At the end of the conversation, this person who calls themselves an atheist says, you know what? I like the way you talk. Okay? So it doesn't matter where you go. If you have the love language of the Holy Spirit, what happens? And maybe not everyone's going to be your best friend. But that love language shows respect. That love language shows honor. That love language is not trying to change someone so that they'll believe what you believe. Okay? That's not your job. Okay? If someone doesn't agree with what you believe, then just love them anyways. Okay? Don't lose too much sleep over that one. Right? This is good preaching, you know. You know? So can we experience Pentecost? Yep. It's a promise. And there's skeptics that say that it can't be for today. And many of you have heard that, but not in the book of Acts. The book of Acts in Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, it says that the apostles, they send John and Peter to minister to a group of people in Samaria. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they were there, they prayed for them. They laid hands on them. They prayed for them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They all spoke in tongues. Okay? How many of you have, has this ever stopped that we know of? Never. Never. So don't spend a lot of time debating whether it's just flow in it, okay? Because if you spend a lot of time debating it, then what happens is that's an excuse not to flow in it, right? So don't argue about it. Just do what you need to do. Just do what you need to do. And so have you heard people say, I can't experience Pentecost because it happened 2,000 years ago? And as I have already said, well, when you accepted Christ, that happened 2,000 years ago too. So does that mean that we can't be born again? So we accepted Christ 2,000 years ago. They said, well, you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit because that happened 2,000 years ago. Well, hello, like that doesn't even make sense, does it? So we must consciously desire it, right? We must consciously desire it. We must deliberately plan for it. This is what Linda said the other night, word for word. In our prayer ministry, she was reading a book by James Gall. You'll see it in our Facebook group. And she said this. And it wasn't necessarily just talking about what I'm talking about, but she said this. We must consciously desire it. We must deliberately plan for it. And we must diligently pursue it. Amen? Amen. And in your desire, okay, Holy Spirit, you can say, I want to receive you. So close your eyes with me this morning, and I'm not going to, don't be a clone. If you don't want to say it, don't say it. But close your eyes with me, and if you believe this, you start to just repeat some of the things after me. This morning, we put on the armor of God, and I had my eyes open, and I watched everyone in the circle when we put on the armor of God. And when they put on the breastplate of righteousness, everyone just pressed their arms in like this into their chest, and you could see them squish up their face because they just want it. So let's pray this together. Holy Spirit, I want to receive you. If the miracle of Pentecost also means speaking in tongues, I want to receive you. So, folks, are you able to say right now to Holy Spirit, I'm receiving you? Whether you've been baptized in Holy Spirit or not, but can you say right now, I am receiving you? I want the promise. Can you say that honestly in your heart with me this morning? I want the promise. I want the promise. I cannot live my life without the promise. I need the promise. I need the promise. How many of you prayed that prayer? Just show me your hands here. And how many of you just want the promise? Okay. In your heart, an open and willing heart that says, God, I trust you. And I want everything that you have for me. I want everything that you have for me. And you know what? It's not always going to be candy-coated stuff. Okay, we're so, Western Christianity, it's weird, you know? We say that, Lord, I want everything you want for me, and we think that it means prosperity. Like, automatically, we think it's going to be all, you know, flowers delivered to your door every day with, you know, like, there's hard times in life, folks, and we get through them. I want to be the most effective servant of yours I can possibly be. I want to be empowered the same way the disciples were in the upper room. I want your gifts. I want your empowerment. I want you, Holy Spirit of God. Some people, yes, they go through the motions, they pray the prayer, but their hearts are saying, I want some of what you are offering, but not all of it. Don't let that be you this morning. God doesn't operate on those terms, folks. Trusting in his promise and surrendering to his plans and purposes are the keys to life. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to close right there. It's a beautiful, hot day. I'm just going to close in prayer. I'm going to dismiss you. Have a coffee before you go. And thank you for listening and worshiping and giving and being attentive today. Father, I just pray as we have delivered another message pertaining to the promise, Lord, that you would stir this congregation, Lord, you would stir us to walk in a deeper place with you, in a holy place with you, in an honest place with you. And that, Father, when we look at our city, Lord, at the 54,000, really, honestly, 51,000 people that live here, Lord, let us be those people that have such a conviction in our heart that demonstrate to others that, yes, people can also be introduced to Jesus Christ. And there is a promise that's attached to having a relationship with Jesus Christ that will take them on a journey that they are not aware of now. So, Lord, use this group of people here that call themselves born again, spirit-filled people, Father, to just be influencers into the lives of others. So, Lord, we give you our junk this morning. We give you our unclean thoughts. We give you our impure desires. We give you, Lord, those unhealthy habits. And Lord, that we try to give away a time and time again, and we keep taking them back. And Lord, we give them to you this morning, and we ask Holy Spirit to fill our minds with Jesus and Father and help us to be able to walk in freedom, true freedom, with a love language that is so honest and so pure and so real, Lord, that lives would be changed. So when, Lord, when we always say to this congregation that when we walk into a room, the atmosphere should be changed, I hope, Lord, the people here this morning have a better understanding of what that means. So, Father, help us. And, Lord, I just pray that there will be testimonies. And, Lord, there will be more Raymonds, Lord, that will walk in on a prayer evening and give us life to the Lord. And that, Lord, that we will continue to see transformation. And, Lord, not one or two or three a year, but, Father, one or two or three an hour until everyone is saved in this city and saved in this world. Father, we're just one by one. That's all we ask, Lord, one by one. So, Father, bless each one in the name of Jesus. Amen.